Hello, and welcome to another fine episode of the Tombstone Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, the video game industry, and whatever else we want. My name is Devin.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Zach.
And we have a brand spanking new game that we're going to be talking about today. Today's episode is going to be on the Animal Crossing New Horizons, which was fucking crazy release all around the world, breaking records. But before we get to that, let's do our round robin. What have you been playing other than Animal Crossing and Doom? Because I think we covered both of those last week. So if you've been playing anything else or you're excited for anything else, please speak up. We'll start with Kevin.
Well, something came to my attention that I totally forgot about. There was a game that I played when I was a wee lad, and it's getting remastered, and I'm really excited because the personal story, the personal fucking trials and tribulations I've had with this game is I've bought it 3 separate times and lost it 3 separate times, and I can't beat it because I keep losing it. So I'm glad that Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles is getting a remaster on the Switch. And it's kind of, if you remember the Magicka games, it's somewhat similar to that. It's like a multiplayer, you go through a stage and fight monsters and you can cast spells and you can combine your spells and things like that. It's pretty neat. I liked it a lot when I was younger, but the multiplayer was a huge pain in the ass because it required Game Boys and the Game Boy link up to the GameCube, and you needed to have 4 Game Boys with 4 link cables, and it was a fucking mess. So now it should be a lot easier to do it. I think it might even have online, I'm not sure, but that game I'm really excited to fucking play and hopefully actually beat it. Because, for God's sake, it is very uncommon for me to lose games. I've only lost one other game in my life, and I actually found it, and that was Link's Awakening. And so this game has eluded me for, like, over a decade.
So you had it when you were younger, lost it, got it again, and then lost it again?
And then got it again, and then lost it again.
So 3 times you got it and lost it.
Yes, and I don't know how it keeps happening.
What system was it for?
For the GameCube.
So it's a disc.
Yep. And right now, I have the case for it, and the case is empty. And I can't find the disc anywhere.
Okay, all right.
It's an absolute fucking nightmare. I don't know how it keeps happening.
Because the only thing I can think of, which I know that you don't do this, is that whenever you switch games, it's like some people will just like the game that they want to put it in, they'll swap it with the game that's already in there. So then, you know, it's not in its original case anymore. It's in whatever random case. Because I know that Dominic and his brother, they would do that all the time where it's like, hey, where the hell is Halo? Oh, it's in the Battle for Bikini Bottom fucking case for some reason. It's like, oh, how would I have ever known to look in there? Because it does not say Halo on that.
I never do that. The thing is like, I think the first time I lost it was because of Katrina. So it's like, all right, whatever. The second time I lost it was because I brought it to a friend's house. And then, like, it was just gone. I went to go play it, like, the next day, and it was just fucking gone. I went to his house, and we scoured the whole fucking place. Couldn't fucking find it. So it's just gone. And then I bought it again, and that time I moved, and I was, like, packing up to move, and I was checking my game collection as I was getting ready to move, and I was like, oh, the case is empty. Great. I don't even know what the fuck happened. So, hopefully I don't digital download it and then just lose my Switch.
It's cursed.
You're gonna lose the SD card it's saved on.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, that'd be terrible. Zach, what you got for us, buddy?
I mean, I haven't really been playing anything other than Animal Crossing and Doom, but I am looking forward to the Final Fantasy VII remake. So,
yep.
When is that happening?
Yep. I still haven't played the demo, so I'll probably do that sometime this week.
It's I think it's April 10th, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. It's very sometime soon.
Next month. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sometime next month. 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I think I was told that it's what is it? It's only like half the game or something. So like not all because the original game was
on
yet.
Two discs. So they're doing disc one and they're going to do disc two later on.
Mm-hmm, I think so. Yeah, I think it'll all be a part of the same purchase, of course. Yeah, it looks like the release date is April 10th.
I mean, disc one is already like 15, 20 hours anyways.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it had to get released on two different discs, because it's just so much game. I'm really sad that it's not getting released on PC. Like, that upsets me.
It's because it's Square Enix. Square Enix, at least with Final Fantasy, tends to make it platform exclusive, at least ever since 7.
But they have all of them on Steam now.
Yeah, yeah, like most of them are on Steam.
Well, now, like retroactively, but initially they all come out for a Sony system, and to port it, because they've been working on this game for fucking years.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think, at least not right now, they're going to port it. Although they did release Final Fantasy 15 on PlayStation and then eventually on Windows. So yes. Same thing might happen, but don't hold your breath and it might take a while.
All right, I'm not holding my breath. I don't think I can hold my breath that long anyways.
Yeah.
I really can only hold it for like maybe a minute.
Maybe
I don't know. My lungs aren't that good anymore because I don't exercise anymore. but lazy. Anything I'm excited for? So I just started up a another playthrough of Fallout 4 Survival Mode, and it's goddamn, holy shit. I like it. I really think it's a really good challenge to do, because Fallout is, I mean, just an easy game anyways, and to have something like survival mode where damage is multiplied like 10 times to where like you can kill everything with two bullets, but also everything can kill you with two bullets.
Yeah.
It's really fun, really challenging. You have to think about it. You have to change the way that you play, because it's very hard to kind of be the run and gun that some people like to do, where it's like, hey, I'm just going to go in there and just shoot the fuck out of everybody. Because even like the low level raiders with their pipe pistols will like two shot you at level 10, you know, it's just rough. And also you have all the things with needing to eat, needing to sleep, needing to drink water, and you can get illnesses. I currently have parasites. Fun stuff.
That sounds fun.
I don't really remember how to get rid of parasites. I think
everything, you just need antibiotics.
Is it antibiotics?
I think so.
I thought there was something specific for parasites and like, I don't know. I'll try the antibiotics. But I've been streaming that on my Twitch at Senior Bays, so if anyone wants to come and catch me playing it, it's fun stuff. You can watch me die to the same low-level people over and over again. I finally got past Concord, because you have to kill the Deathclaw in the beginning, and the Deathclaw, even in power armor, can two-shot you, and you really need to save your minigun ammo. So I had to like cheese it and kill all the raiders with like a pipe pistol, and then go and fight the Deathclaw and like run back inside while I'm reloading, so that way it doesn't just run up on me and kill me. Because you can like stun lock it, and to where it really won't ever reach you. And then you can also use the vehicles as like miniature bombs to deal more damage to it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fun. I need to set up settlements, that way I can have, because you can't just save, you have to sleep in order to save. Of course there's the exit save, but that's just for whenever you're done playing. And having settlements everywhere and setting up trade caravans or whatever between your settlements is a must. So I need to get on doing that, because that's it really helps. But it also sucks that you have to go all the way on the other side of the map to help the settlement and then go all the way back to Sanctuary to talk to Preston.
Yep.
So
there's no
fast
travel. I have
Preston with me now. So I hope that he can just give me quests while we're out and about. I have no idea, though. This is my first time taking Preston. Okay. So with that out of the way, like we mentioned at the top of the episode, we're going to be talking about, I was about to say Assassin's Creed because I was thinking AC.
AC.
Animal Crossing, New Horizons. It's the anticipated follow-up to what? New Leaf?
New Leaf, yes.
Yeah, New Leaf was on the
3DS.
Mm-hmm. Was that long ago?
I mean, yeah. They were supporting the 3DS even after the Switch was launched.
Well, hot damn. How long ago was... because this is my first Animal Crossing game playing that I've played. I played the Pocket Camp for like a few days, but that was about it. So how long ago was New Leaf released, and how long have we been waiting for New Horizons?
New Leaf was released in 2012.
So 8 years.
Yep.
Hot damn. That's a...
it's been a while.
Yeah, that's a decent gap to have. That's almost like Duke Nukem Forever gap.
I mean, in between, they did release Happy Home Designer, but that's not really like a main series game, I guess. It was just you put furniture and decorate the inside of houses, and that was it. So
that yeah. I mean, that's not much less than what the actual game is anyways, what the full game is.
There's a bit more pomp and circumstance around the houses now.
Yeah. So who wants to lead off and just kind of introduce what Animal Crossing is for people who don't know, or just kind of give like a basic overview? Who wants to take that?
I guess I will. Okay. It's kind of just like a simulation game, I guess. You build a town, you meet villagers, you build relationships with those villagers, you slowly pay off an ever-growing debt to a raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you just, there's, you can catch fish, you can catch bugs, collect fossils, build out a museum, get a bunch of different stores, and just kind of slowly grow this town from like two or three buildings to a actual city.
Are we going to get to an actual city on this tiny little island?
I mean, this is about the size they usually are.
It's like a small town, but it's like a well-developed town.
If it's like
mine's not well
previous
developed
so games, you're going to get around 7 to 10 max amount of villagers. It's going to get
not too bad.
Populated if you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. Because right now I have 5 villagers, not including the Nooks and Blathers, who is the owl that runs the museum. So the museum is I like the museum because it's just because you already have your like Critterpedia, which tells you everything that you've caught and whatnot, and then you have the museum, which puts everything on display. And it's just a really neat thing. I'm pretty sure it's been in every single Animal Crossing game, though, right?
Yes.
But this one's a lot more fancy and looks a lot nicer.
Yes, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Nintendo Switch graphics are pretty stellar. I really like the art design that they went with it, because it looks like Link's Awakening, kind of. With how everything is like bubbly and just round. Like everything is just round.
Everything is round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. I love the art design. It's just really, really nice and cute and wholesome. So yeah. your villagers that you have are animals. That's basically the whole point, is that you live on this island with a bunch of animals, and they all have their own little personalities and their own way that they talk, which they talk as, I forgot what they call the language that they speak. Was it?
Animalese or something like that?
Yeah, it's Animalese. And it's so funny because, like, you can kind of hear, because in the Japanese version and in the English version, they speak different. Like, Animalese is localized and translated.
Yeah, it's really strange because you can, like, buy something and it'll be like, blah, 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 thank you. But, and you'll, like, kind of hear the thank you. But then, like, Japanese, it's like, arigato, and it's like you can kind of hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty great, like, cuz it's I watched a video on it's like whenever you just make up languages for games, like it's like vocalization something, but how you have like a like the Sims language, and I mean, even before then, you had games where it would just be text on the screen. It would have like beep 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 beep. Even that's like a form of like simulated language, basically, just to kind of show you that this thing is talking. And Animalese is like it'll have like if you ever use the keyboard and you'll notice that, like, all of the letters, like, they say the letters, like, how they're said. It's like, they say, like, I-O-N-E. And it's just like, what is going on here? Yeah. So, yeah, whenever you talk to them, like, you can kind of, if you listen really closely, you can kind of hear a lot of the words that they're saying, but they just sound a little bit off. But it's adorable. I like it.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of gets into one of the main things that sticks out to me about the game, and that's just its kind of attention to detail, like almost to an excessive level. Like a lot of like small things were given a lot of thought and attention. Like, you know, an example is you'll have clothes hanging up and they react to wind. So like, if you have clothes hanging outside, they kind of like wave in the wind and they wave differently in different weather conditions. But then also, if you have clothes hanging up in your house and a fan turns and faces toward it, it starts like flowing. And it's just like things they didn't need to do, but like you notice it, and it like it really strikes me how much attention to detail, at least on the aesthetic level, they gave to this game.
Yeah, I love the art direction that it has. I like everything. Is the only thing that I have to say is I don't really care for the camera views. The camera views can sometimes be very obstructive, and depending on like where you're walking to or what's around you, it's really hard to see things every now and then. Like whenever you're walking down the screen, I find that you don't have a very good view of what's below you. You have a way better view of everything above you because you could see to the new horizons. Whenever you're walking north, but walking down, it sucks because like you go inside your home and you can control the camera. You can look wherever you want. I don't understand why they just couldn't do that for the overworld. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is my guess. I have no confirmation. This is just speculation, but I suspect that it's probably doing something similar to A Link Between Worlds. Link Between Worlds is a fully 3D game, but it's top-down 2D in terms of, you know, your camera view. And so to make that more readable, they actually kind of tilt a lot of the models in such a way that it, like, it looks better from above, or at least like you're above slightly back sort of angle. There might be some artistic reason along those lines as to why they don't want you to turn the camera, but as it stands, it's really restrictive. You can't turn the camera left or right, and you have three viewing angles, one of which you can't use while moving for some reason. The one where it gets low to the ground and actually kind of looks up. You can't walk around like that. But that being said, I think if you, I don't know, Zach, maybe correct me, but if you bring out the camera, you have some amount of control over the camera, but I don't think you can turn it.
No, you can't turn it, but you can move it like up or down and like pan it across the screen. And then you can also just move your character independently.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of locked to, I guess, an area slightly wider than your viewing angle. So you can't just like open the camera and then just move it and yourself around the entire world. It's still kind of locked to a specific area. Yeah. But you do have a lot more control with the camera tool.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what makes me think it's some sort of technical limitation where they don't want things viewed from that angle. So they, you know, for one reason or another, they were like, we don't want you to do that. So they forced you. I think that's kind of odd, but, and it does bother me that, like, if I'm going down the screen, I can't see, I can only see maybe like 2 or 3 feet in front of me, but you going up, it's like, oh, I can see all the way to the top of my island pretty much, you know? And that is pretty bad when you're doing something like, say, trying to catch a tarantula, which will bite you and knock you out. And it's annoying when you walk down the screen and he runs from off screen, bites you, and you're just done. And it's like, all right. So not that there are that many like actually difficult things in this game. It's actually a very, very, very forgiving and simple and easy game.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been talking about the camera angle for a little bit, but I mean, that's really just, that's kind of it for like gripes that I have. There's a few like little quality of life changes that I think that they can make with some patches and just make things easier, like menuing. Menuing can be very, very tedious in this game.
Mm-hmm. And crafting.
And crafting. Crafting's very tedious because it likes to, like, you can do one thing at a time, and it'll, when some menus that, whenever you're doing stuff, it will, like, whenever you do one thing, it'll kick you out of the menu, and then you have to go all the way through the menu to do, like, another thing. That's what I've noticed with the Nook Miles machine. It's like if you're redeeming miles, some items, whenever you purchase something, it'll say, do you want to make another purchase? And then other times it's like it'll just kick you out of the menu, and then you have to go all the way back to the shop and do it again. And then there's some things like the bank that whenever you get out of it, it says, okay, you know, what else do you want to do on this menu? But, like, the store, if you leave the store, you can't immediately go to the ATM. Like, you have to enter the menu again and go to the ATM. And it's just, it's really inconsistent sometimes with what kicks you out of the menu and what can be done one at a time, what can be done, you know, it's really weird and inconsistent.
Yeah, and the thing that Zach suggested with crafting, he had brought it up before and we talked about it. It was, you know, you shouldn't have to go in your house, pull shit out of storage, go craft it. All right, now go back in your house, put it back in your store. It's fucking annoying. And the game has what's in your storage in its memory. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to be like, hey, if this is in your house storage and you have a workbench in your house, you should probably pull from that source.
I mean, even if it's not in your house, if you put a wardrobe anywhere on the island and you access it, it pulls the clothes out of your storage. Why can't workbenches do it?
so it's already
in the game.
So they're already doing it. They're just not doing it for crafting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for, and my personal living hell is making fish bait.
Yes.
You go collect them one by one. You collect the manila clams, my favorite flavor of clam, and you collect them one by one by digging them out of the ground. And then you go back over to the fucking crafting station. And guess what? You can only make them one at a time. So this is when I take my controller and I smash A and walk away and I pour myself a drink and I might get myself a snack. And I'm like, how many do I have left? All right, I have like 20 left. All right, let me just walk over here, pet my cats while I'm just mashing A the whole time. It's like, why can't I just say, make 30 of these? Just make 30 of them.
Or make all. Like,
yeah,
just,
make
just
as many
make
as you
all
can.
Button. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of small inconveniences that when added up, it amount to a pretty significant amount of time. I feel like a lot of the stuff could easily be fixed. Easily in like a patch. They just need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, they've already added a patch to fix some exploits. So I didn't even realize that they updated the game. I was in one of the menus and it said version 1.1.1. I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We were just on 1.1.0 like yesterday. And I didn't even see that it updated. So it was like a stealth update that they did. So yeah, that's like one of the things that I have to gripe about is, well, two things is the camera, like I said, and then also just some of the menuing is just abysmal, and it sucks to do it. Like there's the I think it's interesting that they have the tool belt upgrade and they don't just have that in the game, like you have to buy it. It's such a weird decision to have.
Yeah, and where it's not even like expensive. It's just kind of like
it's just there.
Yeah, like I don't know. Yeah, like it should just be a thing you have, but like it's not, but it's really easy to get, and you can get it pretty much immediately. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so the tool belt ring, normally, well, whenever you first start the game, you have to cycle through all of your tools individually, or you can open up your menu, open up your inventory, and go to the tool that you want to use and equip it. And there's a upgrade that you can buy for like, I think it's like 800 miles. So yeah, it's like super easy to get. You can get it within your first few minutes of playing. And the upgrade allows you to press up on the D-pad and it'll open up a tool ring and you can just select whatever tool you want from there. So it's like way quicker. And I don't know why they put it behind like an upgrade like that. It's just such a weird decision to me. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and so another personal gripe I have with that is it's so you press up and it brings up the tool wheel. So you press up with your left hand, right? You would think that you could navigate it with the right stick. No, you can't. You have to press the up button. One, wait for the animation to finish, and then two, take your left hand and move it to the left stick. It doesn't work like every other fucking game where you press and hold a button with one hand and then you push in a direction with the other hand and then let go and then it selects that. No, it's you press it, you wait a half a second, then you move your finger, select which one, and then press A. And it's just so much more cumbersome and slow as a result. And it drives me fucking insane.
Yeah. And then also whenever you switch weapons, it automatically faces you south every time.
Yes,
and I'm just
every
like,
time.
Just
it's
stop.
Like, I was already lined up. I was lined up to use my shovel and now you turned me.
Yeah. Well, let's break for ads real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about happy things about this game. Because I think that's all the gripes for the most part. So we'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed those ads, and we're going to get right back into talking about Animal Crossing. And I think we're going to get into just discussing the general flow of the game and how everything operates. And I think Kevin had some things that he wanted to say on that.
Yeah, so this game, it runs in real time, for one thing. So one day in-game is one day in real life, unlike most other games. And there's usually some sort of limitation on how much you can do within a given day. So, you know, you can collect resources once per day. So like the tree will yield this much resources in a day, and it'll grow fruit in like 3 days. And, you know, it's like, all right, well, I'm going to have an expansion added to my home. All right, that's going to take a day. So there is a component of needing to be patient, which has led a lot of people to what we call in the business time traveling, as basically setting your system time so that you don't have to wait. And I don't know. I feel like on one hand, I understand it because especially the first day is super limited. You have, what is it that you can do? You get there, you set up a tent, you basically tell two other people where to put their tent.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can fish and collect bugs.
Yeah. It's like you can't really do much of anything. You don't have half your tools. You can't go to half your island. And it's like, cool. Like, that's kind of lame.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I don't really care for, but I kind of understand it with the whole takes a day. Once you get sort of into like the late game and you want to start like moving things around, like moving buildings to actually rearrange it how you want your town to be laid out, you can move one building, but then you need to wait a day. Then you can move another building, then you have to wait another day. And it's just like, if you want to move like 3 or 4 buildings, it's going to take you like a week just to start setting up your town the way you want it to. And then the same goes for like putting bridges or ramps or anything. You can only do them one at a time, and they take a full day to complete. It's a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, like, the whole point of the game, I guess, is you gotta have patience and mm-hmm. and pace yourself. They don't want you to just sit there and marathon and beat it in, you know, a day, because mm-hmm. this is supposed to be something that's a little bit more like therapy and kind of just like a regular thing to do to keep your mind occupied and just bring yourself a little bit of joy every day, I guess. I think that's kind of the philosophy behind it, is that here's this little world that you get to be a part of, and it runs alongside, you know, our world, you mentioned earlier that it runs in real time. Did you mention about the like hemispheres and stuff like that as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not too much to say there, but I don't know if the other games acknowledged it, but there's... They did not, yeah. So there's northern and southern hemispheres, and normally they basically just localized it for the northern hemisphere for everyone. And this game, they acknowledged that, you know, winter here in the north hemisphere is summer in the southern hemisphere. So you can do that, and seasons are different depending on your location, if you're in the northern or southern hemisphere. That's not taking into account the equator, where there aren't really seasons at all, but we'll just ignore that for now. And there are, getting to the, with the seasons and everything, basically what happens is different bugs and fish become available to you. And that's kind of two of, I'd say, three major collectibles Like, you can collect mm-hmm. furniture and you can collect, like, items and stuff, but your main three collectibles that are being tracked are fossils, fish, and insects. And insects and fish pop out in different scenarios at different times on different days, and it's basically meant as like a... I think the way I see this game is that it's designed like a non-abusive mobile game. And it's like polished up and put on a console, because it's got a lot of the things where it's like, okay, well, you can collect resources, but you can only collect so much per day. And you can collect this bug, but like, oh, limited time. This bug is only available for this month. And it's got a lot of those check back in often sorts of design decisions. Mm-hmm. But it's not asking you to like pay for anything like a mobile game would. It's like you've already paid, but it's just like really, really paced out. And like you said, Devin, it's just kind of, you're intended to play it in small doses, which when I started playing, I played a lot, well, maybe not the first day, but like the second and third and maybe fourth day, I was playing quite a bit because there's a lot to do and you could get a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. Now I'm at a point where it's like, all right, I woke up on a Sunday, I'm going to walk over here, I'm going to pop it on, I'm going to go check on my villagers, going to do this, do that, collect some shit, put it in my house. All right, I'm done for the day. Like, it's becoming a thing that I do for a little bit every day.
Yeah, I think that's, which I like that it's kind of like becoming, I mean, especially right now, as we're recording this and as this is going to get released, we are, of course, in quarantine for the COVID-19. So it's kind of nice and relaxing to have something that feels normal that you actually have control over, as far as the islands go, that it's something that you can use to kind of keep yourself on track and keep yourself, you know, with a schedule, because, I mean, like we mentioned, everything's based on real time and everything, you know, comes out during certain weather patterns or whatever. So there's certain bugs that come out during the night. There's certain fish that come out only during the day or only while it's raining, and some that are only out from like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So in order to collect everything you should really want to collect everything, because, you know, next month some of those things might not be there and you'll have to wait until they're in season again. Yeah. So, you know, good luck with that. So it kind of gives you, especially now that we have so much free time, it kind of gives you something to look forward to. It's like, oh, you know, I should wake up early and really try to catch this fish, because, you know, it's going to be going away next week and I can only catch it between, like, you know, 8 and 12. So, you know, let me wake up, have breakfast, have coffee, and just, you know, relax and go fishing for a while and try to catch this thing. I've never played a game like this before that is so focused on like schedules like this. Like we said, most games don't have their in-game day match with the regular world day, and like games like Stardew Valley is you wake up at like 6 and you're really supposed to go to bed by 12. And I think it's every minute is an hour, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like 18 minutes per day. So you can, and you could also just go to sleep and just, you know, fast forward to the next day at any point that you just want to go to sleep and you're done with everything. And then Minecraft is like 18-minute day and like 12-minute night or something like that.
I think.
What is it?
I think it's 12 for the night.
12 minute night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something like that. And then you have Animal Crossing where it's like, we're on the 24 hour schedule, baby.
Yeah, minute for like, minute. Just,
yeah, so you know, if you oversleep, well, you oversleep and you don't get to get what you were trying to get. Yep. Don't get to get what you were trying to get. That's such a sentence.
That's gets.
Yep.
And I think that kind of leads me into what another thing I'm thinking is basically this game is, and it's interesting that you brought up Minecraft as well, because a really good comparison I made in my head was Minecraft, and in that, your objective is of your own motivation, pretty much. No one tells you you have to fill out the museum or you have to do this or you have to do that. If you wanted, you could just set up your tent and never pay off your debt and just chill out and do nothing. You know, it's like it's kind of on you to do it. There's like a little bit of structure about like, hey, you can fill this out or you could do this or you could do that. There's no real like thing to accomplish when it comes to talking to your villagers or, you know, improving your house. It's like improving your house just gives you more space to put stuff. And it's like, well, I have to kind of self-motivate in a way. And like, yeah, there's that little bit of structure, just like Minecraft has its little bit of structure in that you can go fight the Ender Dragon or whatever. And the little bit of structure here is pay off the debt of your house and maybe collect everything if you give a shit. And to me, it's I kind of slightly burnt myself out just a little bit because I played a lot and paid off like the first four debts like really fast. And then now I'm just like, all right, let's kick back, relax, and, you know, catch a couple fish and then sell them and then turn the game off. And another important thing to note about the game is how social it can potentially be if you want it to be. And as with my thing before, there's no onus or compulsion to do that other than your own. It doesn't tell you you have to, but you can, you know, fly to each other's islands, you can, like, with your friends, and you can trade stuff, and you can go see each other's spaces and see how people customized it and see how they planted flowers, or like, oh, how many fruit trees do they have and this and that,
or
and
which villagers did they get. Yeah, that's also another one.
Yeah, exactly, because that's pretty much totally random, more or less. So it's interesting to go see other people's space. And I mean, we kind of slightly joked about it like the other day, but it was like, hey man, let's all hop on AC and then just go to, you know, so-and-so's island and just like do stuff. And then like, all right, we'll pop over to this other island and then do stuff. And I don't know, it's just like a sense of community in a way that other games don't really manage to capture, because like MMOs will have a community, but it's like a community that's they're playing that game. They're like trying to be the best fucking warlock or whatever. And you can have like an online shooter where it's like, I don't know, like Halo, and it's like, all right, it's competitive, maybe slightly cooperative if you're doing teams, but like, this is just, hey, here's my place. I customized it like this. And, you know, I want to see your place. And it's like, oh, you can send gifts to each other. And it's just, it's the most pleasant, like, social online experience you could probably have.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just a way to just connect with, because this is the first one that is online, has online play, right? Because I imagine that the 3DS one didn't really have online play.
It did.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
And oh, okay.
You could visit other people's towns and stuff.
Well, did you have to? Because I don't know how I don't know how the 3DS handles like online play. I don't know if like you could It was it kind of like local linking, or what was it?
I'm pretty sure the Wii worked the same way, but it was both just pretty much the same way the Switch is. Someone can just kind of open their gates, and then whoever wants to can search for a place that's open and then just visit.
Okay. Well, regardless, mm-hmm. this is I think it's just such a nice little social. Again, there's no pressure on you to, like Kevin said, there's no, you know, there's no, the onus is on you to have things to do and to motivate yourself in order to, you know, accomplish. Because you can, I mean, you basically rule, it's basically SimCity, but you're playing like one of the Sims as well. So you can turn your island into whatever you want it to turn, whatever you want to turn it into. If you want it to just be a lush forest with just nothing but fruit trees everywhere, you can do that. If you want to set up a little park in one area where like there's not really any trees and there's plenty of flowers and walking paths, you can do that. If you want to have your villagers, one of them's like a hermit in the on the cliffside, like you can do that. It's really easy to do, and it's I don't know, there's just something nice about having that freedom to and having the freedom to do whatever you want in the game, but also not really having any pressure to feel like you have to do anything. It's just such a laid back, pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the number one thing about it, is that it's about as much freedom as the framework would allow, and it's all up to you. It's all kind of controlled. It's all kind of comfortable, and it's just a nice, comfortable space, I think. And you know, just thinking about how well it did, we were talking before the episode started about how well this game is selling, because this game did come out same day as Doom Eternal. And generally speaking, it's beating Doom Eternal pretty handily, and it's beating like everything pretty handily. Part of that might be up to the 8-year wait for a new game, but hell man, like what was it in Japan? It was 1.88 million physical copies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, that's not including digital. And that was only Japan. And it's like UK, I think I saw like 400,000, which is like, you know, considering their population, pretty good. And it's number one on their charts. Can't find any information on US, but I think, you know, this game is wildly successful, and we kind of wondered how much of it is due to the quarantine, and people are like, well, this is my only way outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, like just like this whole quarantine thing has really boosted some industries while killing most others. Because like I feel like the video game industry and like the streaming industry, this is their time to shine right now. Because there's not much else that we can do in the world. So any kind of joy that we can find at home is nice and appreciated. But like, yeah, we mentioned that the Animal Crossing is like destroying everything in sales. But Doom Eternal is still doing really well. It's crazy. It's like Doom Eternal's not selling bad. It's just that Animal Crossing is selling that much better than it.
Yeah, like Doom Eternal is getting insane numbers, but it's just Animal Crossing is getting even more insane numbers. Like they're both selling incredibly well. And I do wonder how much of it... I was thinking about it because the crossover memes that came out, because it's like, oh, they're coming out on the same day and they couldn't be more different as games.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that contributed to people buying like the other one when they wouldn't have normally, because I had Doom Eternal on my radar and I was like, eh, whatever, Animal Crossing. But because of that crossover, it was on my mind of, well, that would be a nice thing to kind of put in between my little Doom sessions, you know? It's like, I wonder how many people were swayed to buy the other. I imagine probably more people went Doom to Animal Crossing than Animal Crossing to Doom.
I think I definitely went Animal, because I had my sights set on Animal Crossing since like last year when it was like, oh, it's coming out in springtime. I was like, oh, cool. I've never played an Animal Crossing game. So this is I have a Switch and this would be a perfect opportunity to, little did I know it would be the perfect opportunity with the whole quarantine.
Yeah.
This would be the perfect opportunity to get into it and to see what all the hubbub is about. And then it's like, oh, hey, by the way, Doom Eternal is also releasing on the same day. And I was like, I've been wanting to play the Doom 2016. I still might go ahead and get it as well. I've been wanting to play Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. It's looking like it's going to, you know, rock socks off of everyone. So yeah, I'll go ahead and like on the same day bought both of them. So it's nice. It's again, like you said, it's a weird, like, I'm gonna play Doom for a little bit and then I'm gonna cut that with Animal Crossing.
Yeah, they're weirdly perfect for that, because Doom is such a high stress, high intensity game, and it's like, hold on, I need a chill. Let me go play Animal Crossing.
Let me go see what Isabelle's doing. Yeah, it's really nice, really relaxing to. It's just fun. It's just fun. It's a really wholesome game. I highly recommend, you know, anyone who hasn't gotten it yet, do get it. If you don't have a Switch, get a Switch and get it. And then also get like Breath of the Wild and Link's Awakening and other shit. But
yeah. And Zach, I think you, just guessing, you probably went from Animal Crossing to, I guess I'll get Doom.
Yes. After seeing all the memes and everything, and then seeing just people playing it in Discord, streaming, just watching little brief bits of it, thought, why not? Really fun.
Yeah.
Glad I got it.
I mean, we'll be covering Doom next week, and I think we'll probably not say too much about it right now, just so we could save our conversation for next week. But holy shit, that game is also like, these two games released at the perfect time.
The world needed this.
Yeah. It blows my mind how well everything laid out for these games. The whole virus sucks, but you know, everyone stay the fuck home and play some Animal Crossing, play some Doom Eternal, and we can all get through this. Is there any other topics that we want to talk about for Animal Crossing?
No.
I think
think that was a solid note to end on. Stay the fuck home, play Animal Crossing, play Doom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tombstone Podcast. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be really appreciated. And you could find us on a whole bunch of different social media shit. And I hope that you listen to us next week when we talk about Doom Eternal. That one's going to be a good episode as well.
Oh, yeah.
But see you later, folks.